This is the best of Amber and Billows on 99.5 Star FM.
Amber, a bit of news out of Melbourne. A 9-hour standoff with a prisoner at a Melbourne Metropolitan Remand Centre. He got naked and climbed a light pole in the prison and sat up there for 9 hours.
Look, I saw this over the weekend. Was he protesting? Was he just trying to make a statement? His intentions are unclear.
I've got a statement from the prisoner then. He said he did it for funsies.
He didn't say that at all.
But from what I can gather, he did it for no apparent reason except for, this will be funny.
Maybe he wanted to check out the view.
It would have been a lovely view up there. He was up
like
there for
9 metres tall or something.
Like that. It was pretty high.
Massive light pole.
Yeah, so the picture I've got here from 9 News Melbourne on Twitter is they look like they've put all the mattresses from the prison under him for if he had a spill.
Yeah.
Because no one wants to die falling and naked.
That's a long way to fall.
It really is.
Imagine, like, if it was a hot day in Melbourne and he's sitting bare bum on top of a light.
Yep.
Well, like that would be like stainless steel.
Yeah, well, he starts off wearing shorts and then he loses them at some point. So he was treated for sunburn at the end of the day. It's all just very confusing because, like, if I was in prison and I was going to break a prison rule, there would have to be a very good reason, like the old starting a fight with the biggest guy there so that people leave you alone.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, I've been watching Prison Break on Netflix, Amber. And so this sort of, it just makes me think that he's part of a bigger conspiracy. He was trying to, he was creating a diversion so that his mates could tunnel out. You watch. Right. People are going to break out of that prison.
Oh, wow.
Netflix is just warping my brain at the moment to reality. It's just nothing's making sense anymore.
Billows.
Amber.
There is a new phone case on the market that will help you take the perfect selfie every time.
I'm so glad that we've solved all of humanity's problems, that we can finally focus on this one.
I never said that this will solve humanity's problems.
Okay, so how is a phone case going to make it so we take the perfect selfie, Amber?
Okay, the case has an inbuilt frame of lights to help you get the perfect shot, so you've always got good lighting, no matter where you are.
This is a serious discussion that we had last week about lighting.
It's important.
You were looking at Facebook and just shaking your head going, some girls just do not get lighting and angles, do they?
People in general. Some people just don't get lighting. It's like, don't take a selfie from your lap.
No.
It's pointing just up at your face.
It's going to look like the thinnest girl is going to look like she has got 9 chins.
Correct.
There's just no way to do it from there. No one wants to step your nose.
So this phone case is called the Ty Light, and it was created by Ty Hunter, who's a stylist who's worked with Beyonce for nearly 20 years.
Okay.
He loves a good selfie. He said the idea came to him while he was FaceTiming a friend while he was sitting in bed, and the lighting needed some improvement, and just thought of this wicked idea.
So I haven't seen this. Is it something like, you know, the Hollywood mirrors? That yeah, it is.
Imagine,
with the lights all around it.
Correct.
Okay, yeah, well, that makes sense.
I need this.
You don't.
I do.
You're not taking enough selfies at the moment?
Well, not really. I mean,
I beg to differ.
You take more selfies than I do with your Snapchats.
I send Snapchats to one person, my girlfriend, and it's usually just good morning in the morning. That's about
every
it.
Every 10 minutes for the whole morning?
Well, yeah.
Just you haven't
I'm not posting enough? Mine anywhere, unlike yourself. Okay? Captain Instagram? Yeah.
How many selfies are on my Instagram?
Wouldn't know. I don't check it. I actively avoid it.
Because I don't have this phone case. I'm getting it. I'm ordering it online.
God.
It's got to be payday, though.
I know one person who's getting an unfollow. Amber, Sylvester Stallone is in the news. There's been talk that he was going to do one more Rambo film, and he was going to call it Last Blood. The first Rambo movie is called First Blood. This was going to be Last Blood. Rambo 5.
Okay.
Sylvester Stallone's 69 years old.
So
he's had some success with Creed this year. It's in the Rocky franchise, but it's all about Apollo Creed's son. And he's had some success on that. So there's a good chance we're going to see more Creed movies, I'd say. He was asked recently about what's going on with Last Blood, and he had this to say. Do I attempt a Sylvester Stallone impression?
Yeah, sure.
Have a crack?
Yeah.
The heart is willing, but the body says stay home.
Now translate that to
the heart is
people.
Willing, but the body says stay home. It's like fighters. The wasn't even close. Also, it's like fighters that go back. Now I don't even know where I'm at.
I
now
I don't know.
It's like fighters that go back for one last round and get clobbered. Leave it to someone else, he said.
The word clobbered is brilliant.
Not
and
used
not
nearly enough.
Used enough. I don't think we need 5 Rambo movies.
Who are you to say that?
I just,
the last Rambo movie was a lot of fun. I mean, it's set in like a civil war in, I want to say, Thailand. I can't remember.
Somewhere jungly.
It was very jungly, and it's just over the top violence in it. But he was. Yeah. They were always.
It's just what the world needs is more violence.
Well, they was socially conscious movie. He was always shining a light on something, a war you might not have known was going on. That was always the thing with Rambo.
It's still clobbering people.
Clobbering people, but at 69 years old, yeah, I think the last Rambo movie took it out of him a bit.
Kick back.
Yeah, just go back to just writing these Creed movies. I think we'll all be happy. We'll be fine, Sly.
Just be
an old man.
Yes.
Pop
Sit
a dressing gown on.
Sit in an armchair, read the paper and have a cup of tea.
Leave the roids. Amber, Justin Bieber has upset Mexico. Do you know how hard it is to offend Mexico? Like, that's where Americans go to let their hair down.
Yeah, right.
Justin Bieber.
What's he done?
He was asked to leave the ancient Mayan fortress of Tulum yesterday after just being a downright tool.
Oh, what was he doing?
Okay,
just being
so first
noisy?
First up, he's rolled up to these ancient ruins, beer in hand.
Okay,
true. Come on, mate.
You're going leave it on your bus.
You're going to an archaeological site, leave the frothy on the bus.
I mean, bring your magnifying glass, but leave the frothy on the bus.
He was also visibly intoxicated. Again, this just isn't the place, mate.
Why would you get intoxicated? Like, you're
to
about...
go to a,
it's about history. You're about to learn things about history.
That's not where it finished. So he left his beer at the door or whatever and, you know, kept it together well enough to actually visit these ruins. He was eventually asked to leave after taking his pants off.
What?
Yep.
What?
And climbing the ruins when he was specifically asked not to and the sign said, "Hey, idiots, we shouldn't have to say this. Don't climb the ruins. They're hundreds of years old. They're going to crumble beneath you."
Yeah.
"Justin Bieber, we're talking to you. Don't climb the ruins."
Why? I don't know. Is this, like, legit?
This is legit. Exposed himself, drunk, and climbed some ancient ruins.
This is annoying because what a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go to some ancient ruins in a different country and you can learn some amazing history. You can get drunk.
Somewhere else. Somewhere appropriate.
I assume Justin Bieber has multiple opportunities to be intoxicated with his mates.
Oh, yes. Especially in Mexico. Mexico! Coronas are like 20 cents or something. You know where tequila's from, Amber? Mexico.
Give it up. This is Scoopla.
Big day yesterday in LA with the Golden Globes happening at the Beverly Hilton.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Wasn't here.
MTV Australia have apologised for a tweet they posted during the Golden Globes, which some people are calling racist.
Yes, okay.
Okay. Eva Longoria and America Ferrera took a tongue-in-cheek jab at the way Latina stars have been mistaken for one another in the past while presenting at the Golden Globes.
That's got to be tough. I mean, Colombian, Cuban, Mexican.
Yeah.
I think that as far as Hollywood's concerned, they can all just play interchangeably.
Yeah.
They've got a funny accent, they speak Spanish. Good enough.
Yep, they've taken a jab at that.
Yep.
They're Latina, so it's kind of okay for them
too. Yeah, that's it. They can do it.
So MTV Australia Twitter posted this. "Where are the English subtitles? We have no idea what America Ferrera and Eva Longoria are saying. Hashtag Golden Globes."
Whoa.
So they've come out and people are like, whoa, MTV Australia.
Yeah.
What
they
do you
can
know?
Say it.
Shut up, Australia. What are you doing?
Oh,
so they've been made to apologise because people were saying it's racist, it's offensive. One user wrote, when the intern decides it would be funny to make a racist joke at MTV Australia. You know, other tweets were saying like, well, someone's getting fired today.
Yep.
So MTV Australia deleted the original tweet and offered an apology. They said, our tweet was in reference to Eva Longoria and America Ferrera's Golden Globes joke. The account tweeted, we sincerely apologise for causing offence. We get it. It was a bad call. We'll leave the humour to at Ricky Gervais.
Okay. I think that's a good enough apology where it's like, you don't need to hear any more about it from that. Like, I hate when something like this happens and like, oh, well, we need to have laws change and this needs to happen, this needs to happen. Someone stuffed up. They were trying to be funny. They failed. They apologised.
Yep.
That's all that needs to be said.
Yes. Usually at the Golden Globes, it's things like someone will tweet maybe the wrong winner.
Yeah.
Or someone will tweet a winner before the award came out or, you know, something like that. So
I didn't do it yesterday because I didn't televise it, but I'll sometimes tweet from the Star FM account if something like Grammys is on.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that is
stressful.
It really is. You're sitting there just trying to type as fast as you can. You're like, who is that?
Yes.
What's their album called? How do you spell their name? Get Sam Smith to win another one. He's easy to spell. Do they have a Twitter account? Do I need to tag them? I was a little bit glad that it wasn't televised in the end. Too much stress.
Of course, we've got plenty more Golden Globe news throughout the show.
Oh, yes.
It was an event-filled event.
An event-filled event.
Yeah, it was eventful.
Eventful.
It was an eventful event.
New year, new me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this guy in the UK was thinking when he ordered a Kindle online. I'm going to read more this year. That's going to be my New Year's resolution. Mm. But carrying books around, that's hard work and it's for dorks, he said.
Oh, well, excuse me.
I know, this guy.
He didn't say dorks. You've just added that in.
Okay, I'm speculating. This is a long way of saying this guy in the UK ordered a Kindle online.
Correct. Okay.
That's all I really know.
Okay. So that's, coming up next.
He sat patiently waiting, checking the mailbox every day. Where's my Kindle? I want to start reading. New year, new me.
Mm-hmm. Well, pick up a book while you wait, mate.
They're for dorks. Oh, pay attention, please. Of course.
Got it.
So he's sitting there waiting, and then one day, the doorbell rings. And there, of course, is the courier with his parcel. He's like, yes!
Got me Kindle!
New year, new me! Kindle's here! Cracks it open. He's like, oh, this isn't a Kindle box. This is a specimen return kit.
What?
Instead of a Kindle, what he was delivered was a sample of a tumour.
Oh, what?
That was supposed to be going to London Royal Free Hospital.
That seems kind of urgent. You get like a...
No one's rushing to get a tumour installed into them.
No, but if it's a sample, like, don't they have to test
that?
Yeah,
they were doing some tests on it.
Something that could be potentially really dangerous to someone.
So, you know, just to get things moving real quick, he took to Twitter and said, well, FedEx, you swapped my new Kindle with a tumour specimen. Still waiting for collection. Hashtag not my Kindle.
Not my Kindle.
Hashtag FedEx fail.
That's true. Sending an email would probably be a more efficient way to get their attention.
Well, I'd probably say phone call, to be honest. Yeah. He might have done that as well. I'm not sure. Eventually, the FedEx guy came back, did the swap-a-rooney, and he had his Kindle and a little less tumour, and everyone left happy, I imagine.
Right.
But still, that's a pretty big swing and a miss, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
They got barcodes and addresses for a reason.
Oh, and everyone whinges about Australia Post. When was the last time you got a tumour instead of a Kindle?
Never.
Correct.
Amber, Golden Globes were on yesterday, and one of my favourite people on the planet, Ricky Gervais, was the host.
Yes.
Now, he's done this a couple of times, and he doesn't pull any punches. He doesn't have any time for Hollywood egos.
Well, you don't get someone like Ricky Gervais to host the Golden Globes.
Yep.
Unless you want it to be outrageously funny and maybe sometimes offensive.
That's right. And the way he puts it is, am I going to pander to the 2,000 egos in the room or the 200 million people watching at home?
Totally.
That's right. Now, he has taken a bit of fire because of a couple of stabs he took at Caitlyn Jenner, formerly Bruce Jenner. So I'll go over what he said, because I think what he said, it's racy, but I don't believe he's taking fire because he's apparently making fun of transgender issues. Now, I would disagree with that as well.
Okay.
What he says is he promises not to offend anyone. He says, I've changed. Not as much as Bruce Jenner, obviously.
Oh, see,
let's start there.
That's not offensive. That's a fact.
That's a big change that person has gone through in their life.
That's a change. That's a fact.
There you go.
Okay.
You're on board with me at the moment.
Yeah.
Now Caitlyn Jenner, of course. What a year she's had. She became a role model for trans people everywhere, showing great bravery in breaking down barriers and destroying stereotypes. She didn't do a lot for women drivers, but you can't have everything.
Oh, wow.
Again, that is not a stab at any transgender issue. That's taking a stab at the fact that Caitlyn Jenner was involved in a car accident and killed someone.
Yeah. Started off super sweet.
Yep. He set him up, knocked him down. There is not a transgender jab in there. There is not a transphobic bone in Ricky Gervais's body.
No.
I think that's all above board.
Yeah, totally.
People are just getting offended for the sake of being offended. Mm-hmm. What? Caitlyn Jenner? It's like Caitlyn Jenner isn't open to any form of...
joke or criticism anything.
That's it. As in, I agree that she stood up and was a good role model for transgender people. Like, her being as open as she was about what she was going through would have helped so many people in what they were going through if it was similar things.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean she's... Teflon, that she can't have any jab taken at her.
Yeah, I'm sure she can.
That's right, and I'm sure she wouldn't have had a drama with either of those.
The whole world is getting upset over what Ricky Gervais said, but what about what Caitlyn Jenner thinks about what Ricky Gervais said?
I
don't think she'd be too offended.
I think it's completely blown out of proportion, and I think, look, she probably didn't like being reminded that she was involved in a car accident that, you know, killed an old lady.
Yeah.
But...
it was in the media. It's like a publicly known thing.
If a couple of years ago he was okay to take a shot at Mel Gibson's alcohol issues, then I think it's a bit of a free-for-all if you get Gervais in.
Mm-hmm.
Amber, I love when a famous house goes up for sale. 6-acre estate. It's nearly 100 years old. It's a mansion with 29 rooms, a wine cellar, a screening room, a game room. There's three zoo and aviary buildings, a koi pond.
What?
Citrus orchard, tennis and basketball courts, a swimming pool and a waterfall.
Whoa!
$200 million is the asking price. I am talking about the Playboy Mansion.
Oh.
Yeah. You'll want to give it a once-over with the Windex.
I wouldn't want to touch anything in there.
No. You definitely want to do some replacing, some wipe downs, some burning.
New furniture.
Oh, God. That'd be the first to go. there is a catch, though, if you do pick this up, because $200 million... that's a lot of money.
That's a bargain.
Don't get me wrong. It's massive. It's in a beautiful spot in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a very rich history.
You should be in sales.
I really should. Where's Richard in here praising me?
Some sort of sales.
He's all over you, Amber. You should get into real estate.
I could be
what about this
a
guy?
Very good real estate
I'm
agent.
About to sell the Playboy Mansion on the other side of the earth. Not a thing. There is a catch, Amber.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh Hefner comes with the property.
No.
If you buy the Playboy Mansion, you've got to keep Hugh Hefner there until he dies.
What? Now, and, like, look after him and love him?
I don't know if you need to love him, if you need to, you know, wipe him when he, you know, messes himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's 89 years old. So you'd be weighing up, how long will he actually be there?
Is he going to keep his little bunnies running around? Or?
Well, if he wanted to throw them in, you wouldn't say no, would you?
Yes.
Yeah, fair point, actually. You probably would. Yeah, what do you reckon? Do you want an 89-year-old man living in your house?
I don't want to be anywhere near Hugh Hefner. Like, I don't... yeah. You couldn't pay me enough money to...
oh, we're
going to
get the Kanye discussion again. What would you do for $1 billion?
Not be near Hugh Hefner.
God, if you wanted to give him the Playboy Mansion, I'd wipe up after him, that's for sure.
Ugh.
Lazy $200 million. See, everyone's got a price.
Yeah.
Mine's a free house and $200 million.
He's just a misogynistic idiot, isn't he?
He's a man from another time, that's for sure.
Yeah.
$200 million, Playboy Mansion could be yours. Included one virile old man. Might I start this bit by saying that I think Jennifer Lawrence is a fantastic actress and is very talented.
Yes, I really want to see her new film, Joy.
Yes, well, she just won the Golden Globe for Best Actress in a Leading Role for her role in Joy, as we discovered yesterday. Jennifer Lawrence as a person has been my likeness of her. That's not a word. That's not what I meant.
No.
I don't really like her much anymore. She's really grinding on me these
days.
You
were a big, big fan.
I really was.
Especially when, let's say, the second Hunger Games came out.
Yeah. And I still love those movies.
She still, at that point, was very humble.
But she's just, she tumbles whenever she gets the opportunity. I'm very surprised she got through last night without having a tumble. Maybe she was wearing something shorter so she had no excuse to. But this exchange with a foreign reporter has really got my goat. Have a listen.
How did you see yourself for the Oscars?
You can't live
night?
Your whole life behind your phone, bro.
Huh?
You're just not gonna. We can't do that. You gotta live in the now.
Oh, sorry.
You know?
How do you see yourself for the Oscar night? And how was?
We're
working?
At the Golden Globes. If you put your phone down, you'd know that.
That would you say? Rude. That English is that man's first language?
No.
He's reading the question off his phone. She is bullying him.
Yeah, that's really rude, isn't it?
It really is. That is just so she's like, oh, I've got the whole moral high ground here. He's on his mobile phone. He's reading a question so he knows what words to get out.
Yeah.
She's sitting on her throne because she just won a Golden Globe. Again, fantastic actress, but Jesus, she's going to have some good PR coming her way, I think. She needs to, because that's just not on. If MTV got in trouble for tweeting that joke, that offensive joke about not being able to understand Eva Longoria, Jennifer Lawrence has got to be in that same boat, I feel.
Yeah, that's really rude. Lots of people on the internet surprisingly thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And I just think that's super rude.
That is. Just the tone in her voice.
I know. I hope her mum called her after that and said, Jen, I want you to go and find that man and apologise for being so rude, because I brought you up better than that.
She's just talking to him like he's just a bug beneath her toes.
Rude.
It's just like,
ugh. So we're at the Golden Globes. Yeah, really rude.
Amber, when I read about someone who's a little bit crazy online, I like when it's, you know, Florida or Georgia or Japan.
Yep.
These places seem to breed just people with a few people with a bit of a hint of eccentricity?
Uniqueness?
Crazy people?
Mm-hmm.
Story out of Ballarat, Amber.
Oh, wow.
I know. I used to live in Ballarat for a while.
It is cold in Ballarat.
Oh, I might go visit there today. This is an ad. I think it was on Gumtree in Ballarat. Hey there. I would like to state that this ad is not a joke, and all joke replies will be deleted. If, however, you want to make some extra cash and don't have much previous work experience, this may be for you.
Ooh.
Amber's
like extra cash.
You would? Okay.
Yeah.
In Ballarat, it's cold.
Well, today I'd take it, like you said. I don't think it'd be cold in Ballarat today, though.
What is required, you ask?
Yes.
The ad goes on. I'm looking for someone to curl up on the end of my bed and purr softly like a sleeping kitten as I sleep. I've had a lot of trouble sleeping, and I think it'd be comforting falling asleep to the sound of a cat purring, and also know that someone is there to keep an eye on me as I sleep.
Get a cat.
Now, the ad does go on that she doesn't have time for a real cat, so she's looking for someone to be the cat.
Who's going to feed me if I'm the cat?
Well, Amber, I'm glad you asked about eating, because you would also be required to eat nothing but tuna from a bowl and drink milk from a bowl as well. Different bowls. She's not that crazy. Yeah, she is that crazy. If you don't have a cat costume, I mean, mine's in a state of disrepair at the moment from overuse.
Yeah.
I'm just constantly dressing like a cat. She can provide one, but she will need your measurements because she's going to need to get it made.
Okay.
So, you know, she doesn't want it to be unrealistic.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually interested.
You do it?
Well, what's she paying?
$30 an hour.
Ooh, if you're sleeping overnight on the end of someone's bed and getting paid $30 an hour?
I don't make that much money when I'm awake.
I know.
$30 an hour to sleep in a... Sign me up.
Tuna's okay.
I love tuna.
Yeah.
I love milk.
Milk's great.
I love sleeping.
Do you want a paper, scissors, rocket?
We'll just go there and see who's a more convincing cat.
Okay. Give it up. This is Scoopla. I know, I cannot stop talking about the Golden Globes, Billows.
Well, we haven't even mentioned any winners yet, so we'll get to that eventually.
Eventually, but there was just so much happening. Jennifer Lawrence and Amy Schumer were adorably funny together when they presented an award on stage last night. Lady Gaga won Best Actress in a Limited Series or Motion Picture Made for TV.
And geez, didn't Leonardo DiCaprio find it funny?
Yeah.
Did you see the face he made?
Yeah. So Leonardo was sitting on a table very close by to Lady Gaga. She's got up to go and accept her award on stage. And as she's walked past Leo's seat, she's like, I don't know, I think she was trying to squeeze between two seats.
Okay.
So she's like, whoop. Done like a, and she's like accidentally bumped Leo. He was talking to someone and he's just made like this, sorry, like this weird face. So that has already been turned into a GIF.
Of course.
Leonardo's face. It's already won GIF of the Year. which is a thing.
It's January 12th. Yeah, so what do you mean it's one GIF of the year?
It's already apparently been decided.
Scoopla, you're on a short leash.
Well, Leonardo apparently apologised and said it was nothing. He just didn't know that she was about to walk past and she surprised him. Honest mistake. He's a human being.
I honestly thought it was because Lady Gaga won the award for that. Righto.
Well, she's in American Horror Story Hotel.
Yeah.
And she's bloody brilliant in it too, might I add.
I haven't seen it, so I can't speculate. I'm just saying that I'm surprised that someone who's never acted is the best.
She's very good in American Horror Story.
Is she better than every other actor
I don't
there?
Know who else was in that category.
Neither do I. I haven't seen her in it. Then
every other actor there. Calm down. Just the ones in the category.
Well, yeah, and they're against every other actor there. They're the ones that have been nominated, and so they're better than all the other TV shows.
Well, look, I don't know. I'm not the judge. I just agree that she is very good in American Horror Story. Ricky Gervais introduced Matt Damon by saying, the only person who Ben Affleck hasn't been unfaithful to.
That's pretty funny. Did you also hear him like the star of comedy The Martian, because The Martian won Best Comedy or Musical or something?
What?
You're like, I haven't seen The Martian, but I was not under the impression it was a comedy.
I don't think it's a comedy. Jamie Foxx pulled a Steve Harvey, you might remember very recently at the Miss Universe.
This is fantastic.
Pulled a Steve Harvey when announcing the award for Best Original Score. What does that mean?
Music. He announced that the winner was Straight Outta Compton. Because obviously that's got fantastic music in it.
Right.
I'm just
totally missed
joke
that
for
bit.
You.
Okay, yeah. I've got to go and...
The winner was Hateful Eight. It was Ennio Morricone, who also did the music for the old Fistful of Dollars and those old Clint Eastwood westerns.
Cool.
Good, the Bad, the Ugly. That's the famous one. Okay. He won an award for that too. Amber, story out of Portland, Oregon in the United States about a gentleman with quite the python in his pants, if you know what I mean.
Wow.
He walked into a pet shop and wanted to steal a python and put it in his pants.
Oh, I'm like...
How do you walk out of a shop with a python wrapped around your leg?
How do you even want to steal a python in the first place? They're so scary.
There is so many double entendres and innuendo I want to do right now, but I won't because I really like my job and I can see what the time is, so I'm just going to leave it at that. He was caught and he was fined.
And the python's safe?
Oh, python's fine.
Oh, good, 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 good.
Please get me out of this before I get myself in trouble.
He's our Larson.
Amber, story out of the UK about an 11-year-old girl named Kashmir. And she's having some dramas at school. She's a bit bored. And her parents are like, you need to study more, you need to study more. And she's like, I don't need to study more. This is beneath me. I need to be moved ahead of class to do anything.
So she's not bored because, like, the teacher's talking about algebra. It's that she's nailed algebra.
Yeah, that's right. And so her parents are like, I don't think that's the case. Just go back in your room and study more. She's like, I know everything in every one of these books. I don't need to study more.
That was my attitude at school.
Yeah, but she can back it up.
I'm like, I know everything about everything. It's fine. Well, I don't even need to be here.
It is a common 11-year-old sort of attitude.
Yeah.
You know, I know all this. You can't teach me anything. So she jumped online, gets the iPad out, and it goes to the Mensa website. Mensa is for geniuses. And she takes their test. She has the highest IQ you can get.
What?
She got a perfect 162.
She really blew up the iPad.
She has a higher IQ than Dr. Stephen Hawking and Albert Einstein.
What?
At 11 years old. Her parents now believe her that she might be a bit bored in class and maybe she doesn't need to do too much studying.
She's already been sent off to university.
Yeah, that's right. Is that not mind-blowing?
That's crazy.
So, kids, you can get away with this attitude for a little while, but you need to be able to back it up. Otherwise, you just need to go back to study.
Maybe jump on the Mensa website, do the IQ test yourself, and if you don't like the results, keep studying.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good one. Or you'll end up poor and in radio.
Hey, Billows, a study has been done to find out which colour is the perfect choice for your Tinder profile picture.
Who is studying this?
You can rely on me for the scientific facts and studies.
From studying at the University of Rubbish Studies.
Okay, so Mashable looked at 12,000 different profile photos from both male and female Tinder users between the ages of 18 and 40.
Okay.
Apparently, the most popular colour to wear in your Tinder pics is black. because when it comes to fashion, black is the best colour in the world.
Okay, but I mean, are they basing that on just how they look, or are they actually looking at the results that these people are getting?
No, 30.6% of women are wearing black in their Tinder photos.
Yeah, but a 30.6% of women are getting that swipe right.
Look,
that's what I
don't
want to know.
How effective
Mashable
this
study
yeah,
is.
Yeah, this study is. It doesn't say.
Are you saying this BuzzFeed ripoff website might not be the most scientific source?
I'm saying that 30.6% of women conducted in the study were wearing black.
Okay.
You've taken it on a tangent.
Well, I'm trying to... They're saying it's just find out what's effective, and they're just
they're
saying...
They're not. They're looking at what colours people are wearing. It doesn't say anything about the effectiveness of it.
Oh, you're on. This is some handy data.
32.3. You're welcome. Percent of men wear black in their photos. And a men's most popular look on Tinder is a button-down shirt and suit.
Okay.
From that one time that they went to a wedding, I assume. 33% of men are wearing a long-sleeve button-down shirts and 22% wear suits.
Do they have in that study what percentage of people have their photo taken next to a drugged-up tiger in Thailand or Bali?
True.
I'm pretty sure it's about 67%.
Or people that are in a group picture, so you don't know which one you're actually talking to.
Oh, my God. I do not miss being single at all.
Yeah, boo.
This was hard work. You're like, well, it could be any of the six people in here. And there's that tiger again.
I've never been on Tinder. I've only ever looked over someone's shoulder while they've been on Tinder. Like, yeah.
It's not something you want to endure.
No, it's not.
I so, never wish to endure it again.
I can't confirm the effectiveness. Is that a word?
Effectiveness,
yeah.
Yes.
Of the black, but it's safe to say, just wear black. That's just a life hack. Just...
Well, according to your study... 30% of women are wearing black, 30% of men are wearing black, 70% aren't. So...
wearing neutral colours.
Make it that
so
what
things
you
like
will.
White and beige and... Mm. Yeah.
This study told us absolutely nothing.
You're
just
welcome.
Just nothing.
This is Scoopla. The Oscar nominations would be just like the highest of highs. If you get nominated and then go on to win one, that's
awesome. Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
It's this the peak for an actor or director or writer.
Flip it over.
Yep.
And we've got to do the worst.
Yeah, of course.
They're called the Razzies and they happen every year. And it's not a list you want to be on as an actor, a director, a movie as a whole.
No.
You don't want your film to be nominated for a Razzie. Are you ready for some of the
please,
nominations?
Please.
The most nominated film for a Razzie in last year was... 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay. I never saw it, but I didn't really hear any good things.
I saw it, but I'm starting to... I didn't know that was last year. I thought that was 2014.
No. Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
Nominated for 6 Razzie Awards.
Good on them.
Including Worst Picture, Worst Actor, and Worst Actress.
Oh, wow. Well, I guess that's what happens when you get a model instead of an actor.
Yeah. Hey, we were talking about this movie and this guy yesterday, Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2.
Who asked for that sequel?
Was no one.
Absolutely no one.
The first one, you're like, oh, look, I'll just let this one slide.
Okay, I never saw the first one. I'm not a big Kevin James guy.
So that is on the list for Worst Picture and Worst Actor. Jupiter Ascending.
I don't know what that one is.
Starring Channing Tatum and Mila Kunis. Made the list for Worst Picture and Worst Actor.
Oh, wow.
Look, they're two very talented actors.
Yes.
Actresses. I think they might have just got a dud movie.
Yeah, sometimes a really bad script, you can be the best actor on the planet, and a really bad script will absolutely destroy you, evident by the fact I'm pretty sure Johnny Depp has picked up a Razzie nomination too. Yeah.
And, of course, Jennifer Lopez was nominated for Worst Actress for The Boy Next Door.
Yeah, haven't seen that one either.
That one got past me.
I liked a couple of the... I did see the nominations before. There's a category for Worst On-Screen Team or something like that. Mm. And so there's things like the Fantastic Four cast. Okay, yeah, no worries. But then there's ones like Kevin James and his glued-on mustache, Kevin James and his Segway, Adam Sandler and any pair of shoes for his role in The Cobbler. There's some funny ones. They just look for an excuse to give Adam Sandler as many things as possible. And when he puts out movies like Pixels, he really does give it to him on a silver platter.
Yeah, but Adam Sandler's probably sitting at home just like, You're still talking about me, guys.
Yeah.
Still relevant.
If Adam Sandler ever passes away, they will be renamed the Sandlers. I guarantee it.
We are making Adam Sandler still relevant.
Yeah.
So just sweep it under the rug.
That's right. I understand most days I'm the part of some problem. Today it's the fact Adam Sandler's still around. Jennifer Aniston, Courtney Cox, Lisa Kudrow, Matt LeBlanc, Matthew Perry, and David Schwimmer. Who are they, Amber?
It's Friends.
It's Friends.
No one told you life was gonna be this way.
You were early. There was too many claps. Come on, I tried to play along. And
okay, sorry.
Amber,
what's going on?
They're going to be reuniting. It's hard to get all these six people in the same spot.
Yes,
they've all got different schedules, mm-hmm. and they're all not real keen on doing. Or not all of them are real keen on doing a Friends reunion. They mm-hmm. just want to leave it as is.
Yep,
it's pretty perfect.
Because it's pretty perfect.
They're going to be. It's not going to be another Friends episode or anything like that. They're coming together because Friends director James Burrows is celebrating working on his 1,000th TV episode.
Okay.
So not only will the Friends be getting back together, there'll also be the cast of Will and Grace, Cheers, Frasier, and Taxi, as well as his more recent ones like Mike and Molly and The Big Bang Theory. This one guy has worked on all of these television shows.
Yeah.
And so they're going to be throwing a big 2-hour special on television just for him.
So it's not just for Friends.
Not just for Friends, for all
I've
these other
to watch
great TV shows.
Big Bang Theory people.
Well, they're going, yes, they'll be there. Wow.
Aww. Aww.
They're not going to be in character. They're just going to be the regular actors, okay?
Yeah.
That doesn't help you at all,
no,
does it?
No, it doesn't.
Did I mention the Friends will be there? Matthew Perry, Matt LeBlanc.
It's actually probably good that they're not going to do like an actual episode.
Yeah.
Because that would ruin it.
Well, like, I don't think it'll ruin it, but it's just not needed.
How long's it been? Like,
I think it finished in about 2005 or something like that.
So
it's probably been a good 10 years.
10 years at least. And, you know when a movie gets rebooted after 10 years and you're like so excited and you go and watch it like Anchorman 2 and you're like, yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Flip that. Star Wars Force Awakens.
Yeah, true.
Whammy. Have you seen that yet?
No.
God damn it.
I know. Billows, how annoying is it when you get a new phone and or you get a new number and you've got to go through and tell everyone your new number?
Never had a new number, I'm sorry.
Ugh.
I've got the same one since I was 15.
Ugh.
So please never give it out to someone weird.
No, I changed my number maybe what? 2 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
I can imagine it's horrible, though.
It's really annoying. And then if you're anything like me, like you forget what your number is and when someone asks you, you've got to... Anyway, that's a bit off topic. This guy from Seattle got a new phone number.
Okay.
And, you know, as well as it being super annoying having to remember his new number, he started getting messages from numbers that weren't meant to be going to him.
Okay,
right?
So he's getting, okay, so maybe the old owner of the phone number or something?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
Including musicians that were sending him YouTube links. There was luxury car dealerships.
Oh, wow.
And he was like writing back like, look, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm a broke law student from Seattle. You've got the wrong guy. Sorry.
You can offer me a Lexus all you like.
He started getting some racy text messages.
Okay, now we're talking.
From people that he didn't want to get them from.
Oh, he didn't want these ones.
No, like,
okay.
You know, he's...
People that aren't his thing, aren't his type.
What about his girlfriend, you know?
Okay.
Then, on August the 12th, he was flooded with birthday wishes.
Okay.
For Anthony Ray.
Is Anthony Ray someone of note?
Not familiar?
I'm not familiar with Anthony Ray's work.
This guy from Seattle Googled it and realised that Anthony Ray...
I like big...
...is Sir Mix-a-Lot.
He's got Sir Mix-a-Lot's old phone number, yeah. So he's getting, like, booty pics from thick gals.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is amazing.
When Sir Mix-a-Lot was told, he goes... Oh, are you serious? That's hilarious, that poor guy. And then his advice to Nicholas was don't check any text messages in front of your wife. That was his advice to this poor guy. Like,
Not getting another new phone number. Hey, mate, hold on to that one. You're going to enjoy it. Just don't do it in front of your wife.
Yeah, don't let her know.
That is fantastic.
How annoying would that be?
Yeah, no, that'd be the worst, getting lots of nudes all day every day. Amber, I don't know if this story is new or old, or I've just come across it and it made me laugh.
Okay.
J.K. Rowling, the author of Harry Potter, apparently a story's come out about her. When Stephen Fry, very, very funny Englishman, he was the guy who read the audiobooks of all the Harry Potter books.
Yep. He's also an author.
Yeah. I don't know what he does. I know he's wrote books about himself. I don't know what else he's done, to be honest. But I'm about to say I'm a big fan. I really like Stephen Fry.
Don't really know what he does.
Yeah.
I like him.
Anything I see him do, I really enjoy it. When he first met J.K. Rowling, after writing the first one, she mentioned that she was writing a sequel.
Okay.
Apparently, Stephen Fry was a little condescending, apparently. He just sort of gave her, you know, like a little bit of a pat on the head. Oh, good for you. That's great.
Oh.
So, apparently, she didn't forget this encounter.
How could you?
So, he was doing the recording for The Prisoner of Azkaban, and he runs into the phrase, Harry pocketed it. Harry pocketed it.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't say it. He kept stumbling over the words. Take after take. He kept saying, pocketed it.
Harry pocketed it.
See, I think you put an extra ED in there as well.
Harry pocketed it.
Yes.
You'd have to, there's got to be a comma in there.
Yeah, that's right. So the only way he could get it right was if he said it ridiculously slow. So he rings up J.K. Rowling and asks, could I change the line? I can't get this right. Can I just change to Harry put it in his pocket?
Yes.
Same message gets across. J.K. Rowling just, no.
I don't want to tell J.K. Rowling how to write, but I think Stephen Fry's terminology would be correct.
Either way is fine. It's just,
It makes more sense to say Harry put it in his pocket.
No, word economy.
Right.
She's paying by the letter here, Amber.
I know.
There's some big books.
In a book that's like a million words long.
So she's then hung up. She didn't forget this encounter either. She still had it in for Stephen Fry.
She had one over him so far.
The phrase Harry pocketed it appeared in the next four Harry Potter books just to stick it to Stephen Fry. Is that not the greatest? She put it in just to annoy one person.
It's amazing.
Four more times.
No one else would have picked up on that.
Nope. Stephen Fry is just like, oh, God damn it, she's done it to me again. Don't get me wrong, he would have got paid $1 zillion to do it, but still.
Maybe he'll think twice about being patronising
to
people.
He will definitely be like, good job, you're the best!
High five!
Amber, which one of these two would be more embarrassing if you were a 14-year-old boy? Okay, I just want to set the scene.
Oh, I don't know much about 14-year-old boys.
Yeah, but right, I think you'll be able to appreciate the situation. Okay, the first scenario, and keep in mind both has happened to this kid.
Oh.
The first part of the scenario. It makes the news that your mum is really upset that you won't cuddle with her anymore. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's like, Mum, stop embarrassing me. You're making it sound like we were cuddling up until yesterday, and now that we're not, it's making the news. Worldwide, they are talking about us in Australia.
Or
the second part, your mum finds a way around this problem and knits a life-size replica of you so she can cuddle it.
Ooh.
Yep, that's the reality for this kid. She's a textiles designer from the Netherlands, and she has made a life-size knit. It took her about 2 months to make. This is what she said. My son is reaching puberty. We used to cuddle all the time, but those days are becoming scarce, she explained. Now, he'd rather hang out with his friends and play with his phone and listen to his iPod.
Than cuddle with mum.
Than cuddle with mum. Can I show you this nightmare fuel?
Yes. Oh, my God. That is creepy.
It is so creepy. We are going to tweet a photo of this so you can check it out. But it is exactly as advertised. A life-size knitted 14-year-old.
So it took her 2 months.
Yep.
And it's a lot less maintenance. So, you know, you grow a baby for 9 months, then you've got to look after it for 14 years.
Yeah.
That's way less effort.
It's also, as opposed to a 14-year-old boy, going to spend a lot less time in the shower. So, you know, there's another saviour right there. She might be onto something.
This is the best of Amber and Billows on 99.5 Star FM.